Discover the life-changing benefits of Meow Greens for your cat. Ever see your cat slowing down or having health issues and wonder, what can I do to make them better? Well, my friend, add Meow Greens to your cat's food for 90 days, and I guarantee you'll see changes that will amaze you. Greetings, I'm naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, inventor of Meow Greens, and I invite you to take the Meow Greens 90-Day Challenge. In the first 30 days, you'll see shinier coats and increased energy. By day 60, your cat will have a stronger immune system, less shedding, improved joint function, all due to the live nutrients that you've added to their diet. And at 90 days, they're going to have better digestion, reduced inflammation, improved heart health, and you may even have reduced their cancer risk. Fetch a free Jumpstart trial bag for your cat today. Go to trymeowgreens.com. Use promo code TRYMEOW. That's try M-E-O-W. You just cover the shipping. You don't have to change your cat's food to improve your cat's health. Just add a packet of Meow Greens.
Destination, freedom. Destination, freedom. Dramatizations of the great democratic traditions of the Negro people is brought to you by station WMAQ as a part of the pageant of history and of America's own Destination Freedom. One section of Chicago's South Federal Street is backed up against the railroad tracks, a treeless avenue with rows of dilapidated houses and one ancient grade school. In short, a section typical of many of the city's slum areas. But one factor lifts this district above the others. It is the living legend of the Angel of Federal Street, of that ancient grade school's assistant principal, Ruth Blue Turnquist. In a chapter entitled, The Angel of Federal Street, we bring you the Turnquist story.
This is Gabriel calling all angels. This is Gabriel calling all saints and angels. Calling all saints and angels to assemble at the pearly gates and proceed immediately to St. Peter's Chambers, by heavenly proclamation. Today is the day, today is the day for the celestial mid-century election for heavenly angels, for the celestial mid-century election of heavenly angels. Calling all saints and angels.
It was a peaceful Sunday morning in heaven, much like today, when Gabriel called my angels together. The sky was rainbow, the stars were staircases, and on each was sitting one of a million souls waiting for this election, waiting to be admitted into heaven, or rerouted to Lucifer.
Calling all saints and angels.
Gabriel had flown up and down the heavenly highways, pulled all the old angels out to vote on who would be the new angels, an old heavenly democratic custom handed down by Moses.
Well, they're coming in, St. Peter.
I see a few saints missing. What's their excuse?
Well, according to my record, the only one missing will be St. Matthew.
Couldn't you wake him?
My trumpet's broke, St. Peter. I told you about that.
Have it fixed.
Well, everyone else is accounted for. Shall I pass out the ballots?
Oh, go ahead, go ahead. Now will all angels eligible to vote on the admissions of the souls come to attention, please? Now remember the qualifications for heaven. You vote for those who've done most for the fellow men on earth. Some souls out there have been waiting a long time for this election. Judge each fairly in light of heavenly standards, for those you pick shall immediately be swung through the pearly gates, dwell in heaven and wear the raiment and wings of the angel. You young angels who are casting your vote for the first time, I must remind you that we vote for only those souls seated out there on the stars, only those whose spirits have departed from earth. Is that understood?
Yes, thank you.
Very well. Gabriel is passing out the ballots. St. John will collect them. St. Agatha will count them. And Gabriel will read the results. Everything was going according to heavenly schedule. And if I noticed anything out of the ordinary, it was only a group of angels whose earthly habitat had been Chicago whispering over something or other. I suppose they just wanted to compare notes. When St. John had counted the ballots, Gabriel took the platform to announce over the heavenly loudspeaker those to be admitted.
Dr. Charles Drew, Carter G. Woodson, Attorney Charles Houston, Justice Brandeis, Edward Boone.
I was busy with the wings and robes for the new angels, getting their souls ready to enter the pearly gates. When? It happened. Gabriel read her name.
Ruth Blue Turnquist.
Something was wrong. The pearly gate had stopped clicking. It was stuck.
Ruth Blue Turnquist.
The gate still wouldn't turn. The angels flew out to see what was happening. The gates refused to turn only when the wrong soul has been voted in, or when an accepted soul was still down on earth. Well, this was serious. Order! Order in heaven, please. There's evidence of some celestial conspiracy, some conduct most unbecoming to angels. There's been some irregularity in the balloting. Now, which angels voted for the admission of this Ruth Blue Turnquist? Admit your guilt. As soon as I'd said it, six angels stood up, raising their hands. This was mutiny, holy mutiny. I signaled out the ringleader. St. John of all angels, to deliberately vote for an unworthy soul.
The soul we selected is not unworthy, St. Peter. Not at all. That is not why the gates stopped turning.
Then the only other reason could have been...
We voted for the admittance of a soul that's still on earth, St. Peter.
But we seldom give the title of angel to people on earth. You can never tell what they'll turn out to be until they leave from down there. It's against the rules.
Except in special cases, St. Peter.
I haven't heard of any such cases.
If you'll check the Celestial Code, Volume 19, Chapter 8, on how to become an angel and still live on earth, in paragraph 6, you will find it says...
Oh, my, I remember that, chapter.
That we may vote the title of angel to any worthy human, provided there's a two-thirds majority, and such vote is not vetoed by the keeper of the pearly gates. You, St. Peter.
You're right. Now, I'll give you just time enough to explain why I shouldn't veto this Ruth Blue Turnquist, and then I'll make up my mind. I don't like to be harsh, but after all, I've been entrusted by the Master to watch the gates, and we simply can't have the title of angel conferred carelessly. Now then, who's ready to explain this Ruth Blue Turnquist? Who voted for her? Speak out.
I voted for her, St. Peter.
And what made you do that, Angel Landis? You haven't been in heaven long enough to jeopardize your status this way.
I know, St. Peter, but she was more like an angel than many of the angels I've met up here.
You'll explain that remark, Angel Landis.
Well, this is what I meant. As you know, before I became an angel, I was a school teacher on Earth. In fact, the principal of a grade school.
All that's in the record. Go on, go on.
Well, I was assigned to a school on Federal Street in Chicago, a Hodgkin school. I don't guess very many angels know about that school, but it was over by the railroad tracks in the slums, at the bottom of the slums, in fact. I'd never taught in a place like it before. It didn't have what a school needed, and when I reported, I asked one of the teachers all about it.
Well, you see, Mr. Landis, we've got 11 classrooms, 14 teachers, and 462 children.
I see, Miss Pride. And How long have you been here?
Since 1900. 16 years after Hartigan was built.
It's quite ancient and outdated. What's the biggest problem here?
Mr. Landis? That's the lunch bell. Open the door. You can see for yourself.
I opened the door, and pouring out of the schoolrooms were dozens of energetic, active youngsters. Much like youngsters I'd seen in other schools, only most of these wore the clothes of the poor. Oversized caps, cut-down adult pants. But all were so alive, leaping with energy.
That is the trouble.
How so?
They don't know what to do with themselves. Hartigan has no gymnasium, no playground, no assembly hall, no lunchroom.
How do you keep these children out of trouble?
We've got Miss Ruth Blue. Whenever the kids are in trouble, we find her. Why don't you look around the building?
So I went looking around the old building for the first time. Down the basement stairs, I saw a group over in the corner and heard an outcry.
Oh, Miss Blue, that hurts. My arm.
Hold still, or I'll paddle you. You know that's not hurting you, boy. Hold still.
But it is. Ow.
Now, just hold that arm straight again, and we'll have it. Hold it.
I came up to the group. A ring of students were around a busy, fast-working woman who was replacing the splint on a boy's broken arm. He gritted his teeth, and when she was through...
Now, how's that?
You like to kill me. But it feels all right.
Well, you watch those trucks when you cross the street next time. They'll kill you quicker than I will.
There in the basement, this teacher acted as mother, doctor, companion, and confidant to a noisy train of children that followed her all over the building. It wasn't until the last child was gone that she noticed me.
Oh, you're the new principal?
Yes.
Oh, welcome to Hartigan.
Do you do this often?
No more than twice a day. The other times I'm upstairs teaching.
You get along with children unusually well. What method do you use?
I just open my heart to them. I open it wide so they can see what's in it. If they see love and respect, they'll go all the way with me. Give me the hand. Let me lead them. If they see prejudice, they'll stick out their fists and fight. I prefer to have the hand.
She was strict, outspoken. But she held their hands, and they'd do things for her because she did things for them no other teacher would do. The longer I watched her work, the more confident I was that she'd come up here sooner or later. And since she seems to be taking so long down there, I thought we angels should go ahead and vote her in. That's why I lobbied for her, St. Peter.
Order, order now. In my opinion, the reason given by Angel Landis for conferring the halo upon Ruth Blue Turnquist is not sufficient. Therefore, I must exercise my veto power...
Just a minute, St. Peter.
Angel Anderson?
I voted for it, too. Before you pass judgment, listen to me.
Yes, hear him, St. Peter.
Well, then speak briefly. You're holding up a million souls, and the devil is getting more active. Speak briefly.
As everyone knows, I came into the kingdom of heaven... by way of the battlefield.
An artillery shell in the Battle of the Bulge. Now, what's that got to do with Miss Blue?
I'm coming to that, St. Peter.
Hurry along.
I didn't come into the Federal Street community from the outside. I was born in it. I played in its streets, sat on the railroad tracks, lived in shacks that had trembled on their bottoms when the big trains rolled. And in the wintertime, I'd drag an old gasoline drum inside the house for my mother to make a stove. And I'd go out on the tracks and pick up the coal that shook off the cars. It was on that kind of a day that I first met her. It was winter. Snow covered my ankles. It was morning. All the other kids were in school. I was waiting for the coal train to come by, hoping I'd get some coal to take home when another boy saw her.
Jiggers! Jiggers! Here comes that Hartigan teacher!
Who are you talking about?
Miss Blue! Come on, she's running over here.
But I couldn't run with the sack of coal. I knew we'd freeze at home if I dropped it. I stood still trying to decide.
Come on.
Help me carry this coal. Help me.
Not me. She's coming. Drop the coal. Drop it.
Hey, boys. You boys. Don't run. I want to talk to you. Come here.
I held on to the coal and she came up.
Just look at this. Look at this. freezing to death when you could be in school, at least getting warm. Albert, what's the meaning of this?
I wanted to go, Miss Blue, but Mom needed cold.
Did she tell you to stay out of school to get it?
No, she didn't.
You've been out all week.
Well,
you're due to graduate in a couple of semesters if you keep up. Don't you like school anymore?
Not that. It's just that...
Go on.
Well, every time I come to school, the kids all laugh.
There's nothing funny looking about you.
It's about my feet. I don't have no shoes.
I see. Leave the coal sack here, Albert. Come on to school with me.
Like this?
As you are. When you walk home, you'll have shoes on your feet. I'll see to it. Come on.
I was proud to walk beside her to Hartigan School. She took me inside the office.
Here. Stand on this paper. Now, I'll take this pencil and draw the shape of your foot. Uh-huh. Hold still. There. That's it. Step off. Hand me those scissors. I'll just cut out this pattern. Take it downtown with me. Uh-huh. Now, you sit here until I come back. I'll drive down. It won't take long.
I sat there rubbing my feet for a while, and then I got up to peek out in the hallways at other kids coming in and out. Somehow the old school I'd been ditching seemed like the friendliest place I'd ever been in.
Get back up on that chair. I thought I told you not to get off. Oh, you'll catch your death of cold down on that floor. Here, stick out your feet. Stick them out. I bought you a pair of shoes and some socks. Here, put them on. And when you get them on, you get back upstairs in that class. And if I catch you ditching school again, I'll break every living bone in your body.
Yes, Miss Blue. I'll come, Miss Blue.
Hold it.
Yes, ma'am.
Here. Stick this in your pocket. Better pin it in.
Gee, $10.
You keep your mouth shut. Take it to your mother. It's for cold. And don't tell anyone I gave it to you. I haven't got money to pass out all over the school. Now, get upstairs.
That was the last time I did school. You know the rest, St. Peter. After I finished high school, I got married to a girl on Federal Street. We had a son. I worked in the coal yards. When the war broke out, I took my boy over to Hartigan School.
Well, 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 Albert, he looks exactly like you. Does he act that way?
Well, I don't know, but if he gets into any trouble the way I did once, you remember those shoes?
I remember how you kicked him out in 3 weeks. And came back and asked me to buy you more.
Well, I don't think you'll have to buy Junior's shoes. As long as I'm overseas, I'll be sending back enough to take care of them. But,
Oh, yes, Albert?
Step over this way, Miss Blue. Oh. I don't want Junior to hear us. In case I don't come back.
Oh, now, Albert.
I'm just saying in case. I want to know that Junior's in good hands.
Well, now, your wife's perfectly...
May's able and willing. But you know what a kid's liable to get into around this neighborhood. You know what to do. All I want is your promise that you do as much for my son as you did for his father.
I will, Albert. You know I will.
That set my mind at ease, St. Peter. Once a boy gets under her wings, I've never heard of him flying crooked. That's why I voted for her.
Very interesting, Angel Anderson. But as long as you can't cite any unusual evidence, you can't prove there's an angel on earth. Now.
I can prove it, St. Peter.
Who are you, young lady?
One of the new angels. I've only been here a year.
I have your record.
I voted for Ruth Blue Turnquest because she kept her word and looked after my children after I left Earth.
Is this true?
When my husband leaves Earth, and I hope he'll come this way, he'll verify it. He went over to the school just a week after I passed away. He took out two girls and two boys and walked into Miss Blue's office.
Oh, now, Mr. Martin, these children are big enough to walk to school by themselves. You don't have to come over here like this.
This will be the last time, Miss Blue. You see, now that my wife's gone, there'll be nobody at home to look after them. I've appointed my oldest girl, Helen, to do the job, but You know, sometimes the boys won't mind her.
I'll look after that.
I'd hoped you would. Helen's to see that they clean up every morning and get over here. I'm away from home 15 hours. It's a heavy load to put on a little girl, but I've got to work.
I'll see that Helen gets along all right, Mr. Martin. You go right on to work. Helen and I'll take care of everything.
And when she said that, St. Peter, I was easy in my grave. But I did feel restlessness when Helen started having trouble with the boys. One time she told Miss Blue she just couldn't get them up.
Uh-huh. So they're still home in bed, huh? Well, Helen, never mind. I'll take this ruler with me. Now, lead the way home. Well, go on, girl, lead the way.
And she took the shortcut across the vacant lot and came in on the boys sound asleep.
Get up. Get up out of that bed, every last one of you. Get out of that bed. Now, get yourselves in the bathroom and clean up. No, no, wait a minute. I don't trust you out of my sight. Get me the soap, Helen. I'll do it. And lay out the comb and brush while you're at it. Oh, of all the nerves, sleeping till 11 o'clock when you should have been in school. Stick here, Mrs. Water. Here.
St. Peter, that water running over their faces made the sweetest sound that had reached my heavenly ears since I left the earth. I had to cast my vote for that angel. They called her that anyway.
Angel, who gave her that title in the first place? Who started this thing off?
I guess I'm to blame, St. Peter.
Not you, Mother Evans. I thought you were one of my steadiest angels.
And I thought so too, St. Peter.
Then how do you explain this?
Well, you know, I had a grandson, Benjamin. Well, Benny was somehow always getting into trouble. Not serious trouble, but troublesome trouble, especially at school.
Yes, yes.
Then there was that day that he got into bad trouble. The police came to the house and took him away. They said he'd broken into my neighbor's house and stolen some things. You remember the case?
That case would be handled by Lucifer, not me, Mother Evans. Go on.
Well, the judge was just about to send my Benny away. Just about to give his decision the way you're about to do.
Will you bring the boy to the stand so I can pass judgment? It is my considered judgment that the charges...
Judge, Your Honor, may I have a word with you, please?
Why, in just a minute, Miss Blue.
Oh, this won't take but a minute, Judge. Please.
Well, I suppose if the prosecutors don't mind. Only for you, Miss Blue. Only for you.
She came in and took the judge inside his chambers. They only stayed a few minutes, but when the judge came out, he was a changed man.
In view of new evidence brought in by Miss Blue, I'm allowing the defendant to go free, provided he's put under Miss Blue's supervision for the duration of grade school.
Thank you. Thank you, Judge.
Don't thank me. Thank the lady over there. You know who she is?
She's an angel, Judge. The angel of Federal Street. Only an angel could have saved my boy. I first gave her the title, St. Peter. It seemed like a miracle that her words could do so much so quick. I didn't know the title would stick, but when I asked her about her work, I could understand why it did.
Oh, no need to thank me, madam. I'm only doing what little I can to make up for what the community doesn't give my children.
You've helped them so much.
And they've helped me. Each year in my classes, I see the faces of children whose fathers and mothers were once under my care. And I feel I'm part of a big family. After sharing their happiness and their heartaches for generations, I don't think I could ever leave Federal Street. When I walk down the street, people speak to me whose faces look like vague images of children's faces I once knew. Once a truck driver pulled up alongside me. stuck out his head and said,
"Say, aren't you Miss Blue?"
"Well, that's my name, driver. Who are you?"
"I'm Dan Eddy. I was in your third grade in 1920, remember?"
"You? The little brat who used to throw erasers at me."
"Oh, you remember them erasers? I almost got you once. Well, I'll be seeing you, Miss Blue. I'll be seeing you."
I'd see them one day and maybe not again for years. Sometimes I'd see some of my children who were in the profession. Musicians, lawyers, doctors, teachers, good workers. And sometimes I'd see some who hadn't done so well. That time I was caught in the rain. And the only shelter in sight was a tavern on the corner.
Hey, look who's dropped in on us. Miss Blue from over at Hardigan. Welcome, teacher, welcome.
Now, who is this in you welcoming me?
Me, Jimmy Pike. You remember me, don't you?
Well, your face looks familiar, but I never look long at faces behind bars.
I'm a kid that skipped school so much the truant officer gave up. And hey, here's Fanetta Hobbs and Vernon Jarrett, some of your worst pupils.
Hello, teacher.
Well, we never thought you'd come inside the tavern to visit us, Miss Blue. We knew you were persistent, though. You always were. Have a drink.
They were my children, too. They were the girls and boys whose fathers and mothers had not been able to escape the iron ring of poverty and segregation that walled in the slums. I've seen children rising above the slums, like pioneers beaten through forests. I've seen children snarled and tangled in the underbrush, pulled down, lost and forgotten. Talents and gifts lost to the city, to the country, to the world. It is this life and talent I've tried to save. It is these lives I've tried to keep clear from the evils of the slums, so they would grow strong and clear away the slums and make Federal Street and all other streets free from fear and poverty.
That, St. Peter, is what she told me in court. And that's why I kept saying she was the angel of Federal Street. I voted that she be admitted.
Order, order in heaven, please. Will the angels come to order?
Will St. Peter reconsider his veto of Miss Blue?
Angels, please, please. After what you've said, if Gabriel can read the name of Miss Blue, and if the gates will turn, she's in. If not, she'll just have to wait until she departs from Earth.
No.
Gabriel, read off the name again, please. Quiet now.
Read just as I was reading before?
Exactly as before.
Well,
go ahead. Go ahead.
Miss Ruth Blue Turnquist. Miss Ruth Blue Turnquist?
Yes, she was in. It was all quite unorthodox, as celestial elections go, all quite irregular. But if the angels want to allow one of their number to walk around free on Federal Street, what can a poor gatekeeper do to stop them? Who knows? Maybe we should move heaven down on Federal Street.
You have just heard Destination Freedom's dramatization of The Angel of Federal Street, the story of Ruth Blue Turnquist, assistant principal of the Hardigan School. Destination Freedom is written by Richard Durham and produced under the direction of John Cullen. The role of Ruth Blue Turnquist was played by Janice Kingslow, and Arthur Peterson was St. Peter. Others in the cast were Weslin Tilden, George Kluge, Ken Griffin, and Stuart Sklam. The special music was composed by Emil Soderstrom and played by Mary Sinclair and Jose Bethencourt. Our technician was Gary DeBlee. Sound effects were by Cliff Mueller. And now this is Charles Mountain inviting you to join us again next Sunday when Destination Freedom will bring you the story of a Kansas City phone call.